Thank you for that. We are in our discipleship, and thank you for being here tonight. I hope you enjoyed the time being together. I always enjoy these special times during the summer when we have a little bit more fellowship, and thank you for coming for that. We're in the chapter, it's number 6, I believe, on membership. We call it signing on, and we've been talking about the importance of church. We answered the questions in a previous lesson. Why is church important? What is the purpose of church? We started last time by way of introduction, but we're going to look tonight at why are we a Baptist church? It's important that a church identify itself. As I mentioned last time, we have churches now, they don't even want to use the name church. And they don't want to name it with any type of Christian or whatever. It's just, you know, Cornerstone or the Vine or Journey, you know, Pizza Hut, whatever you want to call it. Just, and look, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But as me, as someone, when I go on vacation, we always go to church. And I look ahead of time to find a church that's a church of like faith. And I look for a Baptist church. If I find some other type of church, I don't know what kind of church it is. They don't identify themselves. They think that we can bring people in. Now, I'm not saying that we are, as Baptists, are the only Christian church. That's not true. But we're Baptists for a reason. There's a set of beliefs which we adhere to. So I mentioned before, we're not a Protestant church. We did not protest. The Baptist church, the roots, did not come from somebody who protested and came out of the Catholic Church. The Baptist Church came, if you follow the succession, it goes straight to the early church in the New Testament. We never had to come out of anything. And the reason we're called Baptists, our enemies called us that, and we talked about that last time, and I don't want to go over it and waste the short time that we have here tonight. You can listen to that message. To understand what the unique and specific beliefs of a Baptist church are, we will use the easy-to-remember acrostic Baptist to help us. It makes it very easy. Now, is the Baptist church the only church that believes any of these individual points? No. But as a whole, this is what we believe. So here we go. I don't know what page it is that you have, if you have the discipleship follow after book, who knows? 54. Okay, and there's just a little box there. I'll give it to you, and we will, and I'll talk about it for a second. B is for, the first B in Baptist is for the Bible. It's for the Bible. The Bible is our sole authority for matters and practice of the church. We try in principle and in belief and in conviction and in standards, we try to adhere to the Bible. If we just try to follow Bible principles. We're not going to just make stuff up. We are not, our church is not, I'll throw a word at you, pragmatic. Say, what does that mean? I don't know. It's just a big word that makes me look smart. Pragmatic means you do something based on whether it brings results, not whether it's right or wrong. See, you can get a bigger crowd if you do certain things. But we're not just looking to get a bigger crowd. I want more people, but you know what I want? I want more people that are reached the right way. Okay? There was a church, the Moody Memorial Church. It's no longer what it used to be. But when I was in Bible college, I had a bus route, and Moody Memorial Church was right on the bus route. And I was out prospecting and trying to invite some people. I met a person that went there. And they said, yeah, we're having a Sunday. And they named what they did. And it was like godless. I'm pretty sure they got a crowd with that. But that doesn't make it right. We're not pragmatic. We're going to follow what the Bible says. That's why many churches have changed some of the things they do. They don't change it based on they found something in the Bible. They change it based on the fact that they feel that this will bring results, a bigger crowd. And by the way, I want more people. I want more people. Why? Because I want more people to receive Christ. But I don't want a pony show. I don't want nonsense. I don't want a bunch of people and nobody knows Jesus Christ. It's not what we're looking for. By the way, that's why churches have changed their music. They want to bring in the music of the world because it feeds the flesh. And you're talking to someone who grew up with that kind of music. And I've seen the progression. It started with a little ditty or some type, and then it's moved to certain things. And now it's just, now they justify playing secular type music in the church. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have five people up here who think they're auditioning for America Has Talent. We're not doing that. Okay, I'm not going to, look, if I can't look up here at the people singing, especially ladies, with clear thoughts, something's wrong. We're not doing that. Oh, but the guys will like it. Oh, they'll like a lot of things. But we're going to try to find out the principles of Scripture, and to the best of our ability, we're going to stick with those.
Amen.
And I just want to follow it. And I can look at a bunch of different little things that we're looking at. And by the way, the Bible's a big deal. You know, throughout the ages, Christians were attacked, they were vilified, and they were put to death simply for having a Bible.
Yeah.
Man, we have 75,000 of them. I mean, you can have it on your phone. You don't even need to own a physical copy. We're blessed. But if we're going to own a Bible, it might be a really good thing if the church tries to stick with the Bible.
Yeah.
So that's B. B is for the Bible. We make a big deal of the Bible. A is for the autonomy of the church. You say, what's autonomy? Auto is the word, self. So if you have an automobile, it's self-mobile. It propels itself. Autonomous means that a church is self-governing. Not only are we not a Protestant church, we are not part of a denomination. Okay? A denomination, and I'm not picking on them, it's up to them. Although, if I look at some of their practices and doctrines, I probably could pick on them. That's not the purpose for tonight. You look at the Southern Baptists, it's a denomination.
Yeah.
And so they have a cooperative governing board outside of the church. And they put their fingers into each individual church. And you have to donate money to their cooperative board, which they can spend as they see fit. And they could spend it on something that you wouldn't be for. And by the way, that's what's happening in the Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that. Now, there's a downside to it. Guys, pay attention. There's a downside to it. If you're trying to raise money for a building, they're not helping.
Yeah.
Okay? Our missionaries are not getting money from a cooperating board. They have to go out and raise that money. But, that's okay. Because I don't want to be part of our church to be part of giving money to somebody that would give money to a missionary that doesn't even believe half the things we believe. And so we're autonomous, we're self-governing. And by the way, look, different parts of the country, people are different. Each church, although we have the same beliefs, there's different flavors, there's different type of outreaches and different type of things because their city's a little bit different. When we're on vacation, we're in farmland. And so those churches are a little bit different than here. Okay, we live in a liberal state, and liberals being mild, and we live in a huge, so the needs are different, and I don't need an outside governing board of some guy that lives in Atlanta telling us how to run the church. By the way, it's not scriptural. We do, by the way, have an outside governing individual. He's the head of the church. His name is Jesus Christ. So we try to follow him. P is for the priesthood of believers. This is a blessing. Not that the other two weren't. All believers have direct access to God. I don't have to pray to St. Jude, who prays to St. Bill, who prays to St. so-and-so, to Sister so-and-so, and they deliver the email to Jesus. I don't need that. I have direct access to God. The priest in the Old Testament, he would go once a year and make that, and go behind the veil, the curtain there, and he would make the sacrifice for the people's sins, and he would be the only one going to the Holy of Holies. What happened when Jesus died? The veil in the temple was ripped in two. Why? We don't need a priest anymore. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because I know Jesus Christ. I have a mediator, and it's not a man, it's not Saint so-and-so, it is Jesus Christ. He mediated my position with God. He mediated through the forgiveness of my sins. I can pray directly to God. I confess my sins, if I had any. Sorry, I do. I can confess my sins directly to God. I don't need to some guy with a backwards collar in a phone booth and tell him what I did wrong. He doesn't need to know what I did wrong. God needs to know. That should be a blessing. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Why? Because we have direct access to God. And that's a blessing. T is for the two offices of the church. Those would be pastor or deacon. Elder, bishop, pastor, and deacons. Now we have, it's not wrong to have, you know, we have department heads and bus captains and these different things. They're not scriptural. Those are organizational. Okay, Sunday school teachers, that's all. But when it comes to the leadership structure of the church, you have pastors and you have deacons. That's it. That's what's mentioned in the Bible. We don't need cardinals. Okay, we don't need a pope. Okay, we don't need someone with a funny hat and wears a dress telling us what to do. We have the scriptural mandate of how things are to work, and with those things, by the way, there are also mandates of what each individual is supposed to do, and really how they're supposed to live. Each job has very specific descriptions in the Bible that must be followed. So the two offices of the church. I is for individual soul liberty. Do you know this? You have the right to make your decisions. Now, let's not confuse ourselves for a minute. Just because you have the right to make your decisions doesn't mean your decisions are always right.
Come on.
Okay? How many of you have ever, and this is hard, maybe a couple, have ever been wrong? Don't put your hand up, Alma, because you've already taught me. Just kidding. We've all been wrong. We thought something was right, and we were sure of it, and it's like, you know, oops, I was wrong. Now, you could say, oh, but I was sincere. I know. You were sincerely wrong. I was sincerely wrong. We have a right to our own beliefs. We have a right, but let me just say that. Just because God gives you individual soul liberty doesn't mean he's okay if you believe wrong, if you make a wrong decision. In other words, God does not impose himself upon you. You have to decide for him. And here's the balance to the individual soul liberty. We are accountable to God. Every decision we make, we will stand before God for that. And that's very important. We have a right to our own beliefs. God does not force them on us. Now, by the way, he's been very gracious to give us the beliefs in the scriptures. That might be a good place to go to get them. But all beliefs, listen to this, are not equally true and valid. See, that's the new horrible word tolerance. You know what tolerance is? Tolerance is you have a right to your beliefs even if you're wrong. Here's what the world has made tolerance. I have a right to my belief. Well, this is what they say. I have a right to my belief. You have a right to your belief. And if you believe different than me, your belief is just as true and valid as mine. There's a biblical word for that. Hogwash. Someone can believe that just by saying, a guy can believe that just by saying he's a girl, but it doesn't make it true and valid. It's wrong. And weird. Unfortunately. But we throw all this stuff out there. We have our rights, but it doesn't make our way right. Now, when it comes to that, the most important area is in the area of salvation. Salvation. We have individual soul liberty. Whether or not you trust Christ, it's your decision. God doesn't force it on you. There's this thing called Calvinism. We're not Calvinist. Now, there's milder forms of Calvinism, but Calvinism is the belief that God chooses some for salvation and God does not choose some for salvation. The hardcore Calvinists say if God chose you for salvation, you're going to be saved no matter what. But if God did not choose you for salvation, there is no way you will ever get saved. Okay? So, by the way, if I believe that, first of all, I thank God that he chose me. But, you know, he didn't choose me because... But I'd never go soul winning again. What a waste of time. Nothing I can do is going to change that. I don't know. The Bible says, doesn't God say he wants all? He's not willing that any should perish? Well, it's not God's will for someone to be saved. I don't know. He said he's not willing for anybody to be perished, but that all should come to repentance. Kind of seems to me like God wants everybody to have that chance to be saved. Because if that's the case, we could stand before God and say, yes, I'm going to hell, and yes, I'm a sinner, but I never had a choice. You offered the free gift of salvation. You had the free gift of salvation, but you didn't offer it to me. And even if you did and I wanted to accept it, you said no. That's just bad doctrine. Yeah. S is for the saved and baptized membership of the church. We see this in the book of Acts. The people got saved. Then the same day they were baptized, and that same day they were added unto them. Now our church, we have a church covenant. There's things we ask you. We ask you as a church member to do, okay, to adhere to. The biblical mandate, you must be saved and you must be baptized. What happened in the way the Catholic Church came into being is Constantine made it the state religion and everybody's a Christian, and he forced everybody to be baptized in the church, false baptism, even though they weren't saved. And then he wonders why the church got off into all kinds of nonsense. He had a bunch of unsaved people that were just in there because the government said, you got to do it. Okay? It's your choice. T is for the two ordinances. The first one is the Lord's Supper. Okay? That's the time when we come together, and we'll start that up and be doing that again soon. And we remember through the bread and the blood what Jesus Christ did for us. It's a time of remembrance. Of course, baptism, which we saw already, is a time of identification. And it's really a sign of testimony. S is for the separation of church and state. And by the way, that is not in any of our founding documents. Shows you how ignorant our leaders are. You know, it's not in any of our founding documents. And it doesn't mean what they say it meant. Thomas Jefferson did that to say the government will not interfere with the church. There's a wall of separation. That's why they all came over from England. They wanted to get away from the state church, which was telling them what to do. And they were concerned that America had started going down that path. It doesn't mean that a Christianity can have no influence over our democracy. Look at the founding fathers. It was all over the place. Now, in the last few minutes, let's go over this. How can I get the most out of church? In every church, there are committed, and then there are casual. There are committed members and casual attenders. Casual attenders very rarely get much out of church. By the way, it's hard to get something out of a church if you're not there very often. Now, you're Thursday night, so you're in. But people need to be committed to their church. You're not, it's like, you know, I go home once a week. I'm not going to be really committed to my family. Those who are committed members will be blessed the most and will be a greater blessing to others through their church. You know, casual church members are kind of like a couple that's living together. They're not committed to each other. Therefore, the foundation is flawed. You know, I'll come to church, I just don't want to commit to it. Well, the first time there's a little issue or you're not feeling right, it's easier to step out. How can you make sure that you are a committed member of the church and not a casual attender? Well, let me give you a few things. Give me a few minutes here and we'll finish this chapter. Become a member. Become a member. When somebody hears of a church, they will first refer to it as that church. Hey, oh yeah, Pacific Baptist, I've heard of that church. When they start attending, they will go to, I go to this church. But when you become a member, you say, they say, my church. Yep. By the way, we like to identify with things. If it's football season, so who's your favorite football team? Okay, you're probably, unless you don't want to be called out, you'll say every team but the Raiders. Okay, Because when you say Raiders, that means one of two things. Number one, you're on parole, or you just got a new tattoo. But you all, you know, that's my team. You know, I wear their jersey. That doesn't mean they're going to win. But that's our church. We want identified with it. By the way, that's why you start hearing someone that was going to church for a while, and then they start making references like, well, you know, those people, that church, you guys. Well, wait a minute. I thought this was your church. Everyone needs to be a member of a church. Becoming a member of a church is making a commitment to it. Making a commitment. By the way, when something, when we're in love with something and we're committed to, and we want it to be a part of our life, we make a commitment, don't we? Yep. We have four engaged couples getting married here soon. You know why they're getting married? Because they want a lasting relationship. Yeah. They want, so they're going to make a commitment to each other. Well, we ought to make a commitment to church. By the way, you need to be a member of a church. If you've been here for a while and you're just dating us, we need to become members, okay? If you've dated us, you just realize just how beautiful we are. Just jump in. Become a member. Make that commitment. They that, Acts 2:41, they that, the same day they were added unto them, they made the commitment to the church. Next, attend faithfully. Attend faithfully. I have found that people are faithful to what is important to them. If church is important to you, you will not attend occasionally. You will want to be there at every service. Yeah. Man, one of the early things on when I got in and I'm like, I love this church. It was Gethsemane Baptist Temple at that time in Paramount. I'm like, I'm coming to everything. I just wanted to be there. Okay? You're not going to get much out of it if you don't come. Remember, there's two things that determine what is important to somebody. Their checkbook. Actually, very few people use checks anymore. Their thing from their bank, and their calendar. I can measure the importance someone places on church membership by their church attendance. It's just very simple, okay? We encourage all the members to practice what we call for to flourish. You will not get much out of church if you're not here. Practicing for to flourish means attending all four major services each week. The adult Bible class, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. That's faithfulness. The Bible tells us we're not supposed to forsake the assembling ourselves. And by the way, it says, and so much the more. And in the whole scheme of your week, that's not a lot. But it's vitally important. Next, get involved. Get involved. The Bible is clear that the work of God is accomplished through the church. Every member should serve in some day. There's two phrases we like. Every member, a minister. You know, say, well, you're a pastor. Some people, oh, are you a minister? Yeah, I was a minister long before I was a pastor. Because minister just means to serve, servant, to serve in the church. I've been a minister since I started the first few months after I started going to church. I started getting involved. I was a bus minister, a Sunday school minister, a nursing home minister, and a million other things. I loved it. Every saint, a servant. By the way, can I just say this? This is pastoral here. It's time to get back to work. Okay, we should not be running short. Now, I know, COVID and all that stuff. Let's move past that. Yeah. Okay, so let's move past it. We need to get back at it. Okay, you say, I just don't know what to do. See me. I can help you. See your Sunday school teacher. We'll find a place of service for you. All of us got to be doing something. And we've always been really good at that. You know, there's something called the Pareto principle, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and 80% of the people 80% of the people do 20% of the work. And we've not had that here, but let's just say this. It's time to get out of this the COVID complacency thing. Yeah. Okay, if someone asks to do something, hop in. By the way, you'll be more fulfilled, and you'll enjoy church more. Okay, I love going to church, but man, when I started getting involved, I loved it even more. Invest in it. Invest in it. Nothing knits your heart to church like giving to it. Your heart tends to follow what you invest in. We call this in our steps of growth giving, also stewardship. We'll look at that in a later lesson. But here's the principle. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? You invest in something, whether it's doing something for somebody, your time or whatever, man, your heart goes there because you're giving of yourself, you're giving of your resources, and now my heart is in that thing. And we'll talk about that later. Next, come prepared. Church time, particularly on Sunday, should be the most important time of the week for God's people. If you're going to get the most out of church, you must be prepared before you go to church. Here are some practical suggestions to help you be prepared for a great Sunday. No, these aren't in 1 Thessalonians, but they're good advice that we've tried to follow with our children through the years, okay? Be careful about being out late on Saturday. When I was younger and dumber, we just, you know, never forget. When we were in Florida, you know, all the drive-in movie theaters shut down. When we were in Florida in 1986, they had an old movie theater that played Christian movies. And we'd go on Saturday night. And they had like a little building with a window attached, and after the movie, they'd give a gospel invitation. And they were Christian movies about abortion, all kinds of stuff. And that was, to be honest with you, it was kind of fun. It was just a bunch of Christians. We were down there, and people were getting saved, you know, and like, and then it's like, but I got church in the morning. Why are we doing? It's just like, you know, come on. And so, you like to go out? Yeah, not late on Saturday. Be looking for new people to bring to church with you. Nothing more exciting than that. I'll tell you, when I got on a bus route, and I started getting on the bus route, inviting people, and they were coming to church, that was exciting. I remember I was one of my first times on the bus route. I went on Sunday morning to get some of the kids, and there was I guess I had an older brother. He was my age. Like, what are you here for? Taking your brothers to church. You ought to come with us. He goes, hold on, I'll get them. And I was standing at the door, and like for 5 minutes, and I'm like, I gotta leave. And he opened the door, and his brothers didn't come, but he came with me to church that day. He got saved. When I left to go to Bible college, he was faithful to church, and he was in the choir. Listen, I was fired up. I got to see something happen. Bring someone to church with you. Come expecting to receive encouragement. I don't have any to give, but maybe someone else will. Just kidding. Come looking to give encouragement, right? By the way, you know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Something's going on. Hey, I've been praying for you. By the way, pray for them. Hey, how you doing? And we have a church family. Be involved with the music. We'll get the choir started and everything. Bring a Bible. Take some notes. God speaks to you about something. Be ready to give. You say, oh, I forgot my money. Simple give. Be on time or a little early. I don't like showing up late. I don't like showing up late. When we're on vacation and we're doing the first week, we're traveling, we're out and about, we're in the hotel, it's like, I'm not going to get to church late. I'm going to get there a couple minutes early. I just like to get there early, even though it's not my church, and just meet whoever's there and meet the pastor. I'm just weird that way. I just like being there. Conclusion. A Bible-believing and preaching church is more than just a building. It is more than just a place and specific time we meet. That's what the world, I get it. It is made up of people who attend and the purpose it fulfills. Remember this, church was not man's idea, it was God's. By the way, you can't redefine it. Okay, well, you know, they'll just three of us meeting in a house. God bless you. It's not church. The example of the early church in the book of Acts is very clear. Those who got saved were immediately baptized and joined the local group of believers, the local church. If you have been saved and baptized and are not a member of a Bible-believing church, by the way, if you're in this area, I know one. Come see me. I can help you with that. You are not following the example of the Bible Christians or obeying the command of God. You know, maybe it was vital for them in the New Testament. They were being persecuted. They were on the run. They needed it. And you know what the problem is? You know, America has always been a great, because we just kind of like, And we don't do good when someone pushes us. We push back. Yeah. And I like that. But you know what that breeds? An independent spirit. I don't need anybody. You do. You need church. Yeah. And by the way, you know the flip side is? Church needs you. We're not all just in a vacuum here. We're interconnected. Yeah. We should be interdependent one with another. This week's commitment, if you are not, I would commit to becoming a member of Pacific Baptist Church and make it my church. I will practice for to flourish this week by attending all services. Then you see in your book, there's some benefits you can write. Give your testimony. How did you start going to church? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. We're going to have a baptism tonight, so we're going to prepare for that. And then, Brother Grandy, why don't you come up? Father, thank you for loving us. And thank you for all that you do. I'm so grateful for the part that church has played in my life. Lord, I don't know, especially as a new Christian going forward, I don't know if I'd have made it without church. I know I wouldn't have, and I thank you for church. I thank you for what the people in church have meant to me over the course of my life. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be a part of what you want to do through the church. May we be a part of the team, and may we help to work together to fulfill your purpose, to see your vision come to pass, not just in our area, but in this world, in our community, in our state, in our country. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.